You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Fucking bullshit!
All orders to surrender are false. All orders to surrender are false.
This is terrible.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Quite terrible.
No! 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 No!
Danny Trejo's here. Oh. Oh, this is just like, oh, wow, we got Nazi imagery. That's cool.
While something bad is happening to a woman.
Maybe this really bald, buff guy is, like, supposed to be a dramatic, Kerry King recreation here. Oh, my God. So, basically, this is just the Repentless music video. They have Bill Moseley, and they got the lady from Orange is the New Black. The Repentless Killology. Yeah, it's like, it's like Death Clock Metalocalypse, except not ironic in the naming. Like, they probably thought that was a legitimately cool name.
Because they don't know words. Because they've been doing this for almost 40 years of their life and know nothing else.
Right. If you drop out of high school and you just start playing in the world's most successful thrash metal band, you know, grammar and pronunciation and other, you know, good things about talking, words use, you know, that's right out the window. But I dropped out of school and I'm fine.
It's just, what's the point? Why?
Boys and girls, you are listening to the Toilet Bowl Radio Show. I am your host, Brent Aside, and with me today I have the authentic Golden Boy, 365 Days of Horror.
Oh, I like Golden Boy. I should change my name to that.
Yeah. I have a cat who's more blonde than orange, and I just call him the Golden Boy. He's got like seven names. Every cat in America has at least 9 or 10 names.
Well, it's like the real name. The name with like a Y at the end, and then like mashups of Schnooky Wookums and, yeah, and things like that.
Most of it's Schnooky Wookum mashups. Like, you know, he's a big ol' bucko, buckarino, buggy boy. You know, it's like, fuck it. You don't have to call. He doesn't respond anyway. He's a cat.
And if you do that with dogs, they'll respond because, right. You know, they love you, whereas cats don't.
Right. You just, the tone of your voice is what brings the dog over. It doesn't care what you're saying to it. You could be like, time to get put to sleep. Time to get put to sleep. And it would just come right up and be super stoked on hanging out with you.
It's because dogs are pure love.
Sometimes.
For the most part. Sometimes. Whereas a cat would eat you if it could.
So what's new, Jordo? You go to any big shows this week? Anything anything worth mentioning?
I went against my rules and went to a show out of state on a school night.
Oh, no.
I know.
No.
I don't want to anymore. I'm so tired all the time. But go ahead.
Can we all agree that shows are bad?
It's like I want to go to shows. I'm constantly like looking up different venues to see what's going on. And then when I'm there, I'm miserable.
Yeah, it's like that initial want is what sells you. You're like, I want to be a cool guy. I want to be a guy who's got my, you know, finger on the pulse of the scene. That I want to be that dude, you know. In your head, that's who you imagine you are. But then you're actually there and you're on the concrete floor and people smell bad and there's too many of them or there's not enough of them. It's like sad either way. I think we should just stop, you know.
So yeah, I think it's an age thing at this point for us. Like as we get older, we do less and less. Like we have less friends. Loneliness is an epidemic for our age group and especially for men at this point. So it's like going to shows is the one thing we can still do, and just the memories of having fun and going to shows and being young and being with your friends. And now it's like, oh, right, I'm here alone. It's not happening on time. I had to pay for parking. Everything hurts. Why are there six bands on this? I want to go home.
It's kind of the same thing with like movie theaters as well. And I think the second to last thing I ever want to do in my life is like go stand on a concrete floor and watch Slayer perform live. But that's a second, that's a close second to the thing I want to do least in the entire world, which is go to some sticky, shitty movie theater with some fucking plastic chair that's too small and your ass flattens out on it because there's not enough padding. And you look up at the big dumb screen and see how those morons put a movie together.
I like going to movies, but it's becoming more expensive and people always seem to ruin it.
I don't understand how we went from the standard, because back when we were kids, what was the standard movie? 90 minutes on the nose. Everything mm-hmm. edited down to 90 minutes. If it's more than 90 minutes, you were watching the director's cut, right?
Yep.
But these days you go to anything, Star Wars, Avengers, all the big movies are like 3 hours plus now. And I don't want to hold my fucking piss for that long.
It's the standard to be like 2 hours now. And almost none of these movies need to be over 90 minutes.
No, not at all. I feel like a lot of that stuff should be geared towards a younger crowd that does not have the attention span for it, especially because it's just ever shrinking with the internet and just constant access to everything else. I can't, like, one of these days they're just going to start allowing phones in the theater so that, you know, people would be willing to spend their entire fucking day there watching whatever massive epic tome of a film that Disney wants to show us this year.
I think they're going to actually stop movies at certain points to allow people to get on their phones and tweet and Instagram and things like that. Like a big scene happens, the lights will come up and there'll be a 3 minute break and then they'll go back into the movie.
They try to do stuff like that with movies in the past with like an intermission. But if you've ever seen one of those, usually the intermissions averaged about 11 seconds long.
They had intermissions for like Schindler's List where people needed to like physically decompress from all the horrors. And now it's just like, oh, there's Iron Man again. Okay.
Just decompress from the horrors of the Avengers, like the horrors of Captain America. It's like war is hell. I can't stand this any longer. Seeing all these space Vikings in rubber suits do karate with swords. It's too much.
Zooming in on the car that's sponsoring the movie.
War is hell, man.
War is hell. Drive BMW.
That's right. It always struck me as strange that, you know, government officials would be driving around Acuras. I don't think that's
the brand new Acura 2019.
I don't think that's how the government works. I'm pretty sure they've had long-term contracts with Ford or Chevy for many years now, if not Dodge. Like, have you ever seen a Japanese cop car? No.
No.
No, it's not how it works.
Well, I'm just thinking like Stranger Things too, especially this past season where everything was Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Same thing in the movies. It's like, let's focus in on this beer that Tom Cruise is drinking. Oh, how convenient that it's right in front of the camera.
I mean, if they really wanted to sell something to me in Stranger Things, I came out of that season wanting Scoops Ahoy and nothing else. And it doesn't exist. They wasted it. That could have just as easily been some old school kind of Baskin Robbins, and they could have seriously sold us on some ice cream, and they fucked it up.
Well, because they'll probably do like a pop-up shop in L.A. and New York at some point, and it'll sell out in seconds because people go, that's the thing from the show I like. I have to go.
Okay, so Slayer, new movie, esoteric killology. What do we think the product placement for that film is going to be?
Jägermeister. It has to be.
Has to be Jägermeister. Or has to be. Big Ben's Tribal Tattoo Emporium.
I was just thinking like Carl's Jr.,
yeah,
like Kerry King just eating a sloppy sandwich and like winking in front of the camera while someone's being stabbed.
That scene should be a thing and should last all my minutes it takes him to eat that sandwich.
Just like stopping halfway through and letting out like a big burp and kind of hitting his chest. And
the like jingling of his chains as he like adjusts in his plastic seat. And, you know, the mayonnaise and ketchup is just falling in his beard. And of course, he's wearing sunglasses indoors and the, you know, reflection of the window, of the dirty drive-through window, just is reflected in his sunglasses. People just staring at him. He's just noshing this Carl's Jr. burger.
Patting his belly, satisfied.
His belly just expands from under his size large shirt and just, he just, I don't know. He probably could still fit in a size large. He's not the tallest dude. As rotund as he may be.
They have been touring for about 5 years straight, so being up on stage helps keep him trim.
Do you think he's got like platform boots like Bart Simpson had to wear to try to get that role?
He starts combing his beard up to make him look thinner. Yeah, I don't know why bands do this. I mean, Metallica had Through the Never, Narnia, yeah. Something like that. It's like a movie that's really just a concert with like 20 minutes added onto it. Is this just old bands that have stuck around forever? They're out of ideas, and now all they can do is like, I don't know, make a movie.
There are other movies that have had prison riots in them that were probably pretty good, you know, better than this will probably be. Do we need to make another prison riot movie?
I mean, Metallica, when they had Saint Anger come out, their video was in a prison. We're just out of ideas.
No,
so we're going to get Anthrax is going to do a video in a prison. Megadeth's going to do one.
Megadeth and Anthrax should just be put in a prison. And that's the joke. That's the tweet. Send tweet.
No, the joke is that their former singer was just arrested. Yes. Dan Nelson.
This guy followed me on Twitter for like 4 years because one time I said something nice about the first Anthrax album. And then I unfollowed him one day because he had like 46,000, you know, it was one of those situations. You give a follow, you get a follow. He had tens of thousands. And I was like, I don't really need to follow this guy.
Yeah.
And Dan Nelson. Yeah. He unfollowed me immediately, extremely soon. Once I gave him the old unfollow on Twitter, he's keeping track. And apparently this little sweet old man unfollowed him as well. And he didn't take too kindly with it. So he transformed this old man's face into the front cover of the Anthrax album with the reverse fist that goes the wrong way.
The fist with, like, was it barbed wire exploding a cartoon face?
It's just like a generic Manowar glove of metal fist.
Ah.
Just very impractical.
Yeah, so, like, Dan Nelson, who was in Anthrax for, like, a year and a half, 2 years, but never fully recorded anything with them. Like, I think he did demos, and then the band had like a really bad split, something to do with money, but it was never fully explained, and which is kind of like one of the weird mysteries of metal in recent memory. Just this kind of, here's this guy you've never heard of, he's the singer of one of the most well-known metal bands in the world, and now he's gone, and we're just not going to talk about it anymore.
I guess I might have misspoken. Give me one moment. Anthrax vocalist.
Because they have had about 10 different vocalists. So maybe you're thinking of Joey Belladonna or Neil Turbin.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Neil Turbin. I'm sorry.
I'm surprised he's on Twitter.
He's very on Twitter. He is chronically on Twitter.
That's not good. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dan Nelson, who left Anthrax and was replaced by Joey Belladonna, and everyone seemed to be pretty happy with that, has been kind of doing his own thing. I think he had a band for a little while. Nothing ever came of it. And from what I can kind of gather from the story is that he's been playing at a hotel by the LaGuardia Airport.
I bet he has, like, former singer of Anthrax on his subtitle of everything,
Absolutely. I mean, you might as well at that point.
That's what fucking Dan, Mr. Turbin here does, man. I'm terrible with names. Can you tell?
What they're most famous for, to be honest.
Kind of last name's Turbin, anyway.
So he's been playing at these hotels, I think doing, like, country and blues covers. And while that's kind of sad, but at least he's still making music. Apparently, this incident that happened back in August, Mr. Nelson supposedly had a few too many drinks and did not perform up to the audience's desires.
All right, expectations were not met.
Expectations, yes. Thank you. And a 74-year-old man who was there to watch, I think his friend was playing drums for Dan, kind of criticized Dan Nelson, saying, not too good this evening. So he punched him in the face.
You think that's what he said?
74-year-old man.
You think that's what he said? Oh, not too good this evening. And Nelson just wails on him.
And then he offered him a Werther's, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. So the news came out this week that he was arrested for that, and Dan Nelson disputes that there was any physical altercation. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Like, at all? The dude's pretty bruised up. I mean, he's old. He could have fell down the stairs, but I'm pretty sure he just fell into the fist rushing at his face several times that was attached to Dan Nelson.
Well, I suppose in the interest of not being sued, let's all just say allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Oh, fuck it. Man, you guys aren't listening, right? Dan Nelson, you did it. Come on.
Admit you're going to lose a follow.
You're going to lose a follow. Neil Turbin is retweeting this as we speak. And when I said that he's chronically on Twitter, I think that was literally all he did, which is why I unfollowed him. Is he just anything positive said about an album that he was featured on, which is the first Anthrax album, he just retweeted. I think that's all he ever did.
Good experiment for our listeners. Say nice things about that album and see if Neil Turbin follows you.
While we're talking about Twitter, I have officially muted the word Batushka on Twitter. I can't fucking take it anymore. I'm done.
Oh, good for you. I don't mute things enough. It's what is going on with this whole back and forth with Batushka and people like taking up for one band and hating on the other? Like, is it just because we don't care about these bands that it's annoying?
The drama, the primary drama goes as follows. The head member got kicked out of the band, like the founding guy, because every band has like the guy. Does your band have a guy that does everything?
I guess I'm the guy.
You're probably the guy. You seem like the guy. So they kicked out the guy and they kept making music without the guy. And the guy didn't like that. So the guy made his own album under the exact same name. And that's it. There are two Batushka albums essentially side by side. So the newest drama, either today or yesterday, is that a new band popped up on Metal Archives calling themselves Batushka.
Awesome. Good.
Just to fuck with the situation.
Fuck it. Let's start a band called Batushka.
And they have a very Batushka, like they're using the same logo. They have the same sort of album cover of just like stupid old Roman Catholic imagery bullshit. I'm sorry, Greek Orthodox Catholic bullshit. I don't want to get the flavors wrong. You get, what was it, Emo Phillips back in here?
So is this like an actual band or is it a troll?
It's I think it's literally a band with an album, and they claim to be true Greek Orthodox Christians, I think. So they might have some Christian background that they want to establish. in their role of creating the third Batushka, but I said enough. Fuck it. Just mute it all. Everyone who likes Batushka should be deleted anyway. All the albums are 3 out of 10 fucking albums. Like, your middling black metal band you guys love so much where they put on, like, Halloween costumes on stage and it's the only reason anyone knows anything about them. Just shut the fuck up. Stop.
I think the only solution is to create a new band and call it Beforeshka.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's not like they're, you know, I'm just trying to, in my head, understand all of this. I guess it's because they're not that big. Other bands can get away with it. Like, one of them's on Metal Blade. Like, they're an established name at this point. You can't just jump in and say, oh, no, we're Batushka now.
I think the one on Metal Blade that everybody can get on Spotify and everything else, that's the band, like, the rest of the dudes leaving the OG dude behind. I'm not going to fucking say anybody's names here because it's some Eurotrash names that it's not Bill or Joe or Zach, you know, cool names.
Kielbasa.
Cool names like Zach.
Glumpy.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, Frumpkin. I don't know. Fuck them. I don't care.
It almost reminds me a little bit of Ghost in the fact that Ghost was like an established name for other bands. And then the new ones came along, got huge. The other bands noticed. Ghost became Ghost BC for a minute.
Yeah.
And then just became Ghost again.
That was confusing. But no, everybody's kind of standing by their laurels here. Everybody's Batushka.
The name is just so good they can't give it up.
It's just, it's that good, I guess. Batushka, Befrumshka. Back and Forchka. We're running
out of jokes. So it's been about 20 minutes since I mentioned I went to a show. I guess I should actually talk about it.
Nah. Why don't we talk about what Joe thinks? That's enough. Joe's not here, everybody, as you can tell. He is very busy.
He's in Los Angeles, isn't he?
Yeah, that's busy.
Have you ever been to LA?
I've literally never been to the West Coast.
I've been to San Francisco once when I was in like high school. I was there for like a week. It was okay, you know. There is differences. Like, you know, we joke that the West Coast does this and the East Coast is that. But it was definitely different from, like, what I was used to. A lot of people were, like, more laid back than I was actually comfortable with. Like, where we are, everything's a big rush and we got to get stuff done. And there was, like, meh, you want your check or something? I don't know.
My friend Kat Jones, Kerrang writer lady, she introduced me to the concept of like, around here we call it like portrait and landscape when we're talking about how something is printed, but over in California they call it cheeseburger and hot dog.
Why?
I don't fucking know, because they're insane. But you can imagine which one's which, right?
Yeah, I would assume Zach, I guess.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense perfectly. No, but the hot dog's the long one, right? So you got landscape, what with the hot dog, and then cheeseburger. It might be hamburger. I could be, you know, you could have a million Californians just screaming, just standing up from their beach chairs, and just hollering at their phone.
How about burrito and avocado toast? That seems more like it would be California than hot dog hamburger.
I thought you were telling me there's such a thing as a burrito toast, and I got really excited.
Well, we can invent it. We can start a new trend.
Fuck it, man. Someone in the comments put a picture of your best burrito toast. It's possible. Just the innards of a burrito, but on toast.
Just a sad piece of wheat toast, like Wonder Bread wheat toast and canned beans and like American cheese.
You have those moments where you figure out the title of the show, and I think we got it. It's Slayer Burrito Toast Killology.
What is a killology? That bothers me too.
I assume it's the study of killing, but that's not objectively true at all. I know there's
murder, like, getting.
Fucking Stabo 101.
All we know is killing.
School's out forever.
So yes, I went to a show at the House of Blues in Boston on a Wednesday night. It was Baby Metal, the third time I've seen them. They were very good.
Holy
they
shit.
Are very good at what they do.
we should have mentioned that at the beginning of the show.
Well, we're mentioning it now. Now that we've teased enough people with talk of burrito toast and Joe not being here.
that's what holds them on, you know? It's like that's the people big come twist. For. Yeah, that's the big twist you gotta wait for at the end.
They don't care about the music. They want to hear about our day.
So Baby Metal, I mean, these girls, as far as Japanese idols are concerned, I mean, they got some longevity that I don't think is typical in that that musical landscape. I think that Japanese idols have a shelf life about as good as milk.
I think, you know, they've tapped into something that was different, and they have a backing band that are all like super talented, and the manager that runs everything knows what he's doing, so it's definitely very well crafted and put together. If you ever find yourself bored on YouTube, you can look up some of their shows in Japan where they play like Budokan or these massive sold out arena shows for a week straight. So they're just a huge band, and this show was sold out as well. But opening up for them was a band that some people may be familiar with on our show and our website. We don't really ever talk about them. A band from Sweden called Avatar. Do you know anything about them?
Aren't they like Insane Clown Posse with guitars or something?
That's what they look like. They are essentially like
terrible
hard rock.
Bad.
But with a carnival gimmick. It's kind of like if you took Five Finger Death Punch and Panic at the Disco, mushed them together, and then peed on it. That's what you kind of get.
I know exactly. The thing was, I had a when I first got my new car, it came with like a 3-month subscription for free, totally free, to Sirius XM Radio. So of course I put on
Liquid Metal,
because when you think of like diarrhea, that's the music you're getting. And I mean, look, this is all curated by Jose Mangan and his peers, so you get what you get. But a lot of it was Avatar, and a lot of that was just very bad. I hate Avatar a lot, and I know what you're saying about the whole carnival theme thing. I think that's the worst shit ever. It's like the worst trope that metal dudes do is that, and this is pretty frequent in like prog metal, there's going to be this part that's like very ragtime, cane twirling, calliope, like honky tonk bullshit, where it's like home honey baby darling. It fucking, like, Between the Buried and Me is just infamous for this nonsense, and it should be deleted from music forever. I hate it so much.
All of what you just said was very true. When seeing them, their merch guy had like a pork pie hat and like a striped vest. Their sound guy had like a top hat. And the band, if people have never seen them, they were in like Sergeant Pepper's type jackets. And the vocalist had his face painted like a clown, like somewhere between The Crow and ICP. He had like a jacket with like the tails on the back. And was spinning a cane around, and I could not control myself. I literally burst out laughing when he came out onto the stage, because he was doing this like herky jerky arms and legs akimbo dancing, but like being serious about it.
Yeah, no irony to be had there.
No, and the music was very like generic hard rock with some carnival circusy bouncy stuff for like choruses when the vocalist would do clean vocals. It sounded very much like Darren Malakian from System of a Down, but without the charm and whimsy.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. It would be like heavy verses with almost death metal-y screaming, and then go into ladies and gentlemen. It's just, and people were into it. People were super into it, and me and my girlfriend were dying laughing. She was just snarking on them on Instagram constantly, just like taking pictures of them but putting in like My Chemical Romance lyrics and things like that. And the kicker of it all is that Avatar isn't a new band. They've actually been around since the early 2000s. They're on Metal Archives because they used to be a melodic death metal band. And if you go far enough back into YouTube, you could actually find some of their old stuff where they don't have their clown gimmick. It's covered in fake blood, and ooh, we're doing like the angry type vocals. Like, I'm so mad, I'm gonna freak out.
Let's just stop you right there, because I think that nothing describes like cringy hard bro metal music than.
This should be just. I'm so mad, I'm gonna yell like that, like the clenched teeth,
the clenched teeth,
actually yelling,
seethe. That's my favorite. Like, that's a Slipknot standby, as the sucking through the clenched teeth with the disturbed whisper about how much my mommy hates me kind of thing. There should be more metal music.
Like, Cold Chamber is another good example of the sucking in through the teeth and then. I'm so crazy, I'm about to lose it. And that's what they used to do. And then, for whatever reason, they changed to what they do now. Maybe a manager got a hold of them and said, like, look, you're going to dress like clowns, you're going to make generic rock, and you're going to be rich and famous. And it's working for them. People were psyched as hell to see them. People were showing up to the show wearing Avatar shirts. I saw one woman with her face painted like the vocalist. Oh, so gross. People were into them. And no one else appreciated the way I do how the vocalist was quoting Jared Leto Joker from Suicide Squad, unironically.
Oh, no. Why?
Like, I'm going to hurt you real bad. And it's just like, fuck, are you kidding?
Oh, my God. But yeah, it's like, so they all got dressed up like they, like, I bet their manager took them all to a Marshall's and just showed them, like, the men's grooming products and was like, okay, we're all going to dress like the guys in the labels of these, like, you know, strongly scented cedarwood, sandalwood, beard oil / scrubby gel. Did you, when you went to the merch booth for Avatar, which I'm sure you most definitely did the did the merch guy go, "Welcome to the Circus of Value"?
The funny thing is, we were looking for when we first got in there, looking for Baby Metal's merch table. And the way House of Blues is set up is like one side is one band merch and the other side of the venue has the other bands. So we walked up and we're like, oh, I saw from far away. It's like, oh, it's Avatar. And just turned right around. Like, yeah. I didn't even give them a pity look, which is sometimes I'll do if it's like the venue's empty.
How kind of you.
I'm really going to consider buying this $15 CD from a band I've never heard of. I'll come back. I didn't even give that to them.
That's the best, when you go up to a merch booth, you say hi to the guy, you look around for a minute, and then you just fucking walk away.
You pretend to look at your phone.
You're just like, oh, buzz in my pocket. Sorry.
Yo, man, great set. Gotta go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't listen to Avatar. They're not good.
There's a lot of bands that aren't good. I feel like most metal music isn't good. I work with one of my best friends in the world now. He got me a job at this really great place. It's a tech startup, so we're currently going through a crunch phase, which is very abrasive and difficult and ludicrous, but like 90% of the job isn't like this. So, one thing is that he plays metal music like all day, which that's great. Sounds like the dream, right? But, you know, His wants for metal are very different from mine. And I feel like that's the thing between metalheads. It's just like, even if you're like the most metal dude you know, you've been metal your whole life, you meet another guy who's like that, and there's just so much dissonance between tastes that you might as well just be like a Taylor Swift fan and then a Gorguts fan. You know, it's just so not for me.
So, like, what are some of the things he likes?
Well, it's not what you'd think. Like, it's not like, you know, attack or anything like that. It's the it's the very, very Eurocentric guys windmilling on like a green plain out in Norway somewhere with their, you know, cut off shirts, just playing that sort of flavor of mellow death that has a violin in it or something. You know what I mean? It's just, picture any guy in like a, just with hair down to his butt and wearing like a ball chain necklace that I don't know where the hell he still found to buy. The year 20.
Claire's.
Yeah, Claire's probably right. And a Viking tattoo that he swears isn't racist.
Well, I guess you got to keep an eye out for other tattoos he gets.
Yeah, right. That's I'm not describing my friend. I mean, a little close. He does have a Viking tattoo he swears isn't racist. But And he does have long hair. But he does not have a ball chain necklace. So he gets a pass in the appearance-wise there. I'm just talking about, like, your, like, nuclear blast flavor of Middle
East. Okay.
Before nuclear blast took over everything, they used to cater to a very specific need. I mean, like,
Arch enemy, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, maybe a little deeper than that, but it's just like such 42-year-old white guy metal, you know.
Don't you just get sick of that and sometimes want to put on, I don't know, a ska song or a pop song just to mix things up?
I'll play Animals as Leaders because I think Animals as Leaders is great. I think Tosin Abasi is probably the best guitarist we've had in the last 20 years in the public eye. But he'll, you know, to reach out to me, he'll be like, oh, you think that's insane? Whoa, beyond creation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or there's always that one upper, isn't there?
Yeah, it's like, or Obscura and the 11 members of Obscura and their 9 projects, which all sound exactly like Obscura.
Which all sounds like Necrophagist.
Yeah, I haven't thought about Necrophagist in a long time.
Well, why would you? They haven't done anything in about 15 years.
Metal Sucks recently put out an article that was so clickbait it was funny. They were saying that Necrophagist is done with their album. But if you read the article, and not just the headline, you would see that the guy, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the guy from Necrophagist said, you know, it's been done, but I don't want to put it out.
And this was according to, like, some random person, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I talked to him, and he said it's done. I clicked on that article, too. They got me.
I cornered him in a bathroom. And asked him what, you know, while he was at the urinal, I just started breathing down his neck and asking about the album. And he told me,
I just started leaning over.
there were 20 open stalls. There were 20 open stalls and I picked the urinal right next to his.
And then managed to talk to him all about his fingering technique.
Right. Yeah.
And then wanted to shake his hand without washing mine.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah. I saw that article too. And you know, I think like any metal fan would be like, what, really? Like all of a sudden? And we have another layer of it because we're in contact with all these labels and all sorts of stuff. And she's like, I didn't hear anything. This is huge news. It wasn't.
Yeah, I just think at a certain point in my life, I became a little less leather spikes and chains. You know, I just like, for instance, I'll see constant love for Judas Priest on any given timeline because they deserve it. Of course, they're great. Of course, they're classics. But it's like, do I need to go see Judas Priest live again? Do I need to listen to another Judas Priest album again? Not really. Like I've had my fill when I was younger and there's been so much stuff coming out since. You know, I'm not in love with the same, like, hair-swinging metal that I was when I was 19 years old. And I feel like most metal dudes I meet, that is so not the case. There's just no evolution in taste at all.
There are, like, different tiers of being a metalhead. Like, there are people that, like, live and breathe, and they have to wear a metal shirt no matter what the occasion. And they have to tell you all about the time they saw Iron Maiden in 1987. And then there's different levels of, like, I wouldn't say casual. Like, obviously, we're not casual fans. You know, we have our own podcast. We write for a website. We do all this stuff.
What are you talking about? I don't even like metal. What am I doing here?
And then you have people who are like, yeah, I'm big into metal, and that means they like Breaking Benjamin and Disturbed. So it goes all over the place. And like for people like us who have lived with it a long time but are aware of all these other things and have other interests, I think as we get older, like the desire to be metal like fades away. And like the desire to always listen to like the major bands and to even go see the major bands just because they're the major bands kind of goes away. Like,
yeah.
I've seen Iron Maiden before. I don't feel the need to see them again. And I know there are people out there that would gasp in horror at that, that are seeing them now on their tour saying they're the best they've ever been. It's the most fun they've ever had. And that's cool. They love Iron Maiden, and that's their thing. That's maybe their one show a year. And with me, it's just like, I don't want to spend hundreds of dollars. They don't want to be surrounded by people to see 5 songs I know. So it's kind of like with Judas Priest. I haven't seen him before. I'll see him once. But only if it's like around me. I'm not going to go out of my way to do it.
I saw them in 2004 at Ozfest. And then I saw them again in 2005. They were actually like, I've never seen Anthrax live. Anthrax was opening up at that, up that show, but my brother was such a, you know, lagging piece of shit that we missed that entire set. Like as we were, as we were like going up the stairs to the venue, like Electric Eye started playing, or Hellion, you know, the intro to Electric Eye. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, immediately I'm like, oh shit, Judas Priest. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck, I missed all of Anthrax. But yeah, I will always have respect for the big bands. I will always have respect for, you know, how every band that I love started out listening to stuff like Pantera or stuff like Slayer. And I think it's so stupid when you have kids trying to play contrarian online and just putting out there that Slayer sucks. It's like, dude, you have the entire black metal genre to thank for Slayer. You know, it's just how it is. But, or the other way around. But, yeah, I mean, look, when it comes down to it, several years ago, there came out a term online called girlfriend metal. And it basically described all the stuff that these like try-hard edgelords refer to as stuff that like you can get your girlfriend to listen to so you can get her to listen to metal. And they're bands like Baroness, Deaf Heaven, Kvelder Tok, you know, stuff kind of in that vein is like post metal is more what I listen to. But I just don't really see the point in the shred stuff anymore. I'm not living for the riffs. I'm not living for shreds, you know?
Yeah, taste change, taste evolve. That's part of growing up. You know what I mean? You might have been able to eat the Taco Bell grilled stuff burrito every night when you were in junior high, but now you know better, and now you don't want to sit on the toilet all the time. And it's the same thing with music. You know, you have things you grew up with you love, and you don't always want to listen to that. Like, you don't need bands that sound like Korn all the time.
I think Korn is the grilled stuff burrito of music.
Not Limp Bizkit?
No, it's definitely Korn. Limp Bizkit is like even worse. Limp Bizkit is like the taco that they're selling at Burger King that's not going to last long.
The $1 taco.
Yeah, because you don't see Limp Bizkit putting out albums like Korn does.
$1 taco, y'all.
$1 taco, y'all.
Fuck,
now I need to name the show something different.
If we ever put out an article or even did an entire show of like what metal bands is this fast food item, it would be the most listened to show we've ever done and the most read article we've ever done, for a fact, guaranteed.
Well, fuck it, we're 40 minutes in the show, we got some time to kill, we can make that the main theme. There's no reason we can't.
This takes time. You have to carefully craft it. I mean, if you're gonna call a band the White Castle Hamburger of metal, like, do you say that's Attila? Do you say that's Design the Skyline? You can't get it wrong.
Well, Attila and Design the Skyline, I mean, that's just Windbreaker metal right there. I mean, you got that, those two match up, but I don't think they match up in a White Castle sense. And I think that's probably the discussion we need to have well before the show.
I mean, they could be Sonic Tater Tots. I don't know.
Oh, man, they're worse. They're like, they're like the fucking Starbucks breakfast sandwich.
I've never had that. I've had Sonic and it was pretty vile as far as fast food goes.
As a big fat piece of shit, I've always like ordered a large by default, whatever it is. I don't really care. So it was like one time we went to Sonic and I just wanted an ice cream and they're like, oh, what size ice cream you want? I was like, oh, just give me a large ice cream. It's fine. And they come out with like, think of the biggest cup you could like get a Coca-Cola in at the drive thru. This thing was full of soft serve up to the fucking brim with just, oh my, like peanut butter cups. It was delicious. I loved it. Don't get me wrong. But it was like the first ice cream your boy probably never finished.
I was kind of hoping it was just like a soft serve cone that just kept going higher and higher. And you try to drive with it and it's like the top is sticking out the sunroof.
No, it was just disgusting melting soft serve in like a styrofoam cup that's bad for the environment.
But they were on roller skates when they brought it to you though, right?
Sometimes no. Sonic up in the Northeast is you know, they don't really give it their all like they do in the Southern Sonics.
Just roller skating in the snow to give you your 99-cent slushie.
They better. I feel like that could be a scene in the Slayer movie for like Harry King. He's just going to another fast food.
No, I want Tom Araya like skating backwards, but like, you know, he's about to fall. So it's like clack, 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 and his arms are going everywhere, and he spills his slushy on Danny Trejo, who stabs him in the face.
I would like the cheesy tots, please. With extra cheese. It's my Tom Araya voice. It's a new voice. Tom Araya's cheesy tots. Now it's Sonic. What else happened this week? Do we have any other big news?
Everyone? We care? And when I say everyone, I mean those generic-ass Loudwire-type websites and rocknews.com. We're all excited that Tool's Fear Inoculum, every song, including the shitty interludes, was in the Billboard Top 25 songs for the week.
I mean, what I'm most surprised by is just, like, Tool fans in general, not being disappointed by this album completely. Like, it's not very good, even by like Tool standards.
It's because it had the Tool name to it. If you put out this music, is probably Pussifer or even A Perfect Circle, the response wouldn't have been the same because it has that Tool name. It's, you know, Coca-Cola Classic coming back from New Coke. It's the thing they like. That, like, that's it. It doesn't matter. It could have been Maynard farting on a djembe.
I think they fucked up huge by not putting out a like a claymation video that made no sense and had no narrative and really like no sort of subtext or poetic value whatsoever. They should have put something out for like the release of one of those singles, right? Because I mean, like, that's what Tool was known for, like, famously back in the day, was these really wacky music videos.
There's still time. What I would think they would do is almost like a similar track of what they did with all of their other music. And it's just wait. Why not wait 6 months? Wait until people stop caring so then you can give it to them again and that'll juice the numbers up.
Oh, but they had 13 years to set something like this up. You'd think they could just like hit us with one big punch. Like give us some fucking weird little claymation alien man like jauntily walking around on the floor and, you know, getting squished because he's clay. Eventually in some weird Gumby-esque kind of way to the release of, you know, the title track or whatever. Doesn't really matter, but I don't know. It's disappointing. As a Tool fan, that's what I would have expected.
I guess there's no need to. I mean, obviously the fans are listening to the music. And yay, they're on the Billboard charts. I don't think that means anything anymore. I don't think it has meant anything in a good 20 years. But I guess it's something to brag about.
They will be absolutely crushed by any shiny-faced little Zoomer kid, Billie Eilish, whomever. It's just any one of them puts out any single, and Tool will be on the back of the burner like they've always been. You know, it's just this will happen immediately.
Yeah, of course it will. It's you have this big burst of interest, but I would venture to guess that they're not making a lot of new fans. There's not going to be a lot of radio support. There's no videos, like you said. Oh, really, only fans of Tool would be finding this new stuff. So it's a question of, will this be on the charts next week? Maybe. Will it be 2-3 weeks from now? I would say no.
I don't think so.
And I hope we get follow-up articles from some of those same blogs and magazines saying why it's so important that Tool is no longer on the Billboard charts and it never mattered to begin with. Because we got a lot of those, how it's rock and roll is back, it's huge for rock that this is happening. It's not. I would venture to say it's probably not a good thing that only Tool and like only Slipknot are making their way back onto these charts and no new bands are being able to break through. It's all old guard that have been around 20 and 30 years. That just means all these old people are still into the same old bands and none of the new bands.
In the words of Jordan Peterson, that's a real problem. I agree completely. Like, I think it's a very, very bad sign. The only bands that get any sort of coverage in any sort of mainstream way get there because they already had mainstream coverage and enjoyed it breathlessly for the last 20 or 30 years. We don't need to put these guys on any more magazine covers. We really fucking don't. I'm not saying that like a lot of underground bands are not getting on these magazine covers, but it's not the magazines that everybody's reading. It's the magazines that, you know, maybe some of us are still subscribing to for some reason.
I saw on Twitter, I think it was Decibel that tweeted out, they sell some of their back issues.
Yeah.
And this was like Decibel number 4 or whatever it was. And it was like Slayer and Tool and Amon Amarth and As It Lay Dying. And it's like, they're still covering the same exact bands. It's been however many years since that came out that they were covering bands that were already established at that point. And it's just, we're almost like we're on the hamster wheel. We're just kind of stuck covering the Big Four, covering Tool, covering these bands that we all know. And occasionally one or two new ones might slip in and kind of join the wheel, but by and large, like, you're not getting big cover stories about some of these new up and coming bands. Like, I don't know, Idle Hands isn't on the cover of Decibel, or Midnight, or, you know, whoever you want to put in, Vane, whatever. And it's just, how many times can you put Kerry King's face on a magazine? How many times can you put Michael Akerfeld from Opeth on? And the answer is at least once or twice a year.
I wonder if this is a problem for people that listen to like mainstream pop music. Like, I'm sure people are sick of Beyonce already, right? She's been around the block a few times.
You're going to get assaulted by millions of Beyonce fans online now. Oh. The Bay Hive is going to eat you up and spit you out.
If the Tool Hive hasn't done it yet, then I'm not worried about no fucking Bay Hive.
Well, I think there's a difference between a catty 13-year-old girl and a schlubby middle-aged Tool fan.
Well, that's just the thing is, like, I don't think a catty 13-year-old should be listening to Beyonce, because catty 13-year-olds, when I was a catty 13-year-old, were listening to Beyonce. Like, I'm sure there are people in pop music who see her, or, you know, it doesn't have to be that. It could be Justin Timberlake, whatever, and say, like, Jesus Christ, fucking enough with this guy already. Don't we have enough auto-tuned pretty boys to just replace him immediately?
Yeah, I guess the difference is that's pop music. It's kind of, it's driven by other things. It's like whoever they tell you is the new big thing. It's just like, okay, this is on the radio. This is in commercials now. This is a new hit. Whereas like metal has your local bands and your millions of different labels. It's kind of it's not in the same realm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think if we consider that, then we also have to consider that it kind of is good news that Tool got as high up on the Billboard charts as they did, because, you know, say what you want about them, but they got there organically. Like, just people who are legitimately fans of their music showed up and bought their shit, and that's what happened as a result. They didn't have to put Tool all over the Amazon box, you know what I mean, for you to realize that a new album was coming out.
Sure, but I think, and this was brought up in a lot of the same articles, talking about how they made these sales like without gimmickry. Like, I know we talked about this a show or two ago where I wasn't sure if they kind of wrapped it up in ticket sales for shows, and apparently they didn't. But I kind of take issue with they didn't use any tricks or gimmickry, because the gimmick is that they waited so long. It's the Streisand effect.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this album for years. Apparently it was done like, what, 8 years ago, according to Maynard, or something like that.
Yeah.
And they waited and they waited. And then what they did is, to steal a Wall Street term, they moved the market. They flooded the market at the same time with all of their music that you couldn't get before. And they ginned up lots of interest. And you could say it's not a gimmick and it's all organic, but that is a gimmick. It's a smart one. It totally worked. Like, hats off to them. But it's not like they just put out an album and that was it.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, hype is probably one of the most vicious engines in today's media market. Like, no one knows what the fuck Death Stranding is But everyone's going to buy that goddamn video game just to find out.
Yeah, it's almost like I think of Fear Inoculum as the opposite of that Avenged Sevenfold album that they released, just like surprise released with no advertising.
Yeah.
And it sold poorly because no one, there was no build up to it, and there was no interest. It's just like, oh, here's a thing, listen to it. Whereas this is the album coming out? The album might be coming out. Maynard says the album's coming out next year. Maynard's saying the album's going to come out in August. So that's the opposite end of things.
I don't know about you, but I didn't have time to miss Avenged Sevenfold.
I didn't miss either band.
Maybe miss is the wrong word. I didn't get a big enough break from Avenged Sevenfold, whereas maybe with Tool, a bit more of, you know, I really got to look back on the last 13 years and wonder why we all waited so long.
I don't know. But apparently it worked for them, and Tool fans are Tool fans, and they're going to buy the album. We'll see in a month or two if anyone is even still talking about it.
We still are, which is surprising, but that's okay. So
it only came out a few weeks ago.
It really just did. I mean, I knew it would be like the biggest fucking thing when it was coming out, regardless of its quality, which is exactly what's happening. So mm-hmm. I don't know what else I expected. Hey man, I guess we're going to call it here. Is there anything else you wanted to cover on the show, or any shout outs you wanted to give? Anything you want the listeners to know?
Don't listen to Avatar. Don't see them live. Just don't. They're not good.
Yeah. Terrible, ludicrous gimmick that no one who is seriously into metal would ever respect or want to see in a million years. Go see Baby Metal instead.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, fuck off. Stop it. Go back to your seething, yelling through your teeth stuff.
I'm a clown covered in blood?
We are all freaks. That's another thing he said. Like, talking about how normies don't get us, and welcome to the freak show. It's like, shut up, Johan.
speak for yourself, douchebag.
I have a job and a 401k.
Good night, everybody.
66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.